raining or, I mean, never snowing during my time when I was a kid, and now suddenly it snows around my birthday and beyond. So it's just wacky. You know, you notice these things, you know, when it's around your birthday kind of thing, because you kind of remember those things. So, and my son's birthday for that matter. So anyway, I just thought I'd jump in there. I don't mean to jump, you know, break into the queue, so you guys going on. I was going to hang on the side here and listen, and I just wanted my, just my input. You guys have a great morning. Safe trip. Kilo Delta 2, Golf Alpha, Golf Clear.
Hi, very good. Drive safely. It's going to get icy tonight. And you know what I think the story is, Charlie? I think we may not remember as much snow because we don't want to remember it. Or maybe we remember more because we had fun in it, and now you have to be responsible for removing it. And it, whether you like it or you didn't like it, may affect what you remember and what you don't remember.
P2KNH. Oh, absolutely. I mean, when I was a child, I mean, snow meant fun, you know. Again, I had the lake, so we were ice skating, we were playing hockey, sledding, you know, lived in like a Norman Rockwell world. And, of course, skiing, so snow meant fun.
Well, I didn't have a lake in the backyard, but there was a couple of large ball fields not too far from where I lived. And when you got snow like this that was all wet, and then it froze, that was a huge ice skating rink. And everyone was out there ice skating and playing hockey. And I remember that for a few years. Not every year did you get that, because it sort of had to turn to liquid or almost liquid before it froze. So that was a lot of fun. Then again, I didn't have to drive on it when it froze either.
Had to put the coffee down. Yeah, absolutely. You know, you made fun when you were a kid. And again, yeah, we didn't have to drive on it or not far. And it was a lot of fun. And the other station is sitting on the side. You know, you weren't interfering at all. That's what radio is all about. By all means, if you want to talk, come back in. But, gentlemen, I'm just about to work, so I'm going to sign. KD2KNH Clear 73. Have a good day. Drive safe.
All right, Charlie 73, same here. Have a good day, be safe. KA2YHY will be clear.
To be a nothing burger.
I don't know about nothing, but certainly not what everybody was hyping, which doesn't entirely surprise me.
Well, I said you were further north. Maybe you got more. I mean, it's almost all melted already in my driveway. If it's an inch, I don't even think it's an inch, but it could be an inch, inch and a half. But it's almost all gone already because I think we had probably more drizzle along with the snow.
Yeah, I got maybe 3 inches, 4 inches possibly. You know, it depends. And I probably have more piled up at the end of my driveway when they piled my street.
Yeah, that's always the worst. That's what did my snowblower in last year, and I think I told you, I just didn't realize it. I kept pushing it into that that piled up snow, which had become much more dense, and it ripped open the rubber blade that protects the metal on the snowblower. Anyway, that's how I ended up getting a new one. But you know, we didn't have too much of that. I'm telling you, there's snow on the ground, but the streets are completely clear, and like my driveway is almost all melted already.
It's the strangest thing. They actually came and they plowed my they plowed my street at about 5 in the morning. I'm like, I got up for a second, I'm hearing this scraping noise, and it lasted for about 20 minutes. So I'm on a court, so they, you know, go around several, but they actually plowed it down to the pavement. Never been done before.
Yeah, I think also because they probably just didn't have that much. Yeah, I mean, the same thing here. I heard the scraping, but it was almost like, I guess, maybe I got up around 4:30, took a look out the window, and the street already was pretty much clear. But still, and all the plows came by. But there's not even any plowed up snow. The only thing is, I'm debating whether to actually double it, but I might have to, because they're talking about a freeze tonight. So if I don't get it cleared out, I'll have a nightmare tomorrow.
Yeah, I sort of avoid shoveling these days. My cardiologist recommends against it, and I'd never hear the end of it if I did. I even get flack about using the snow thrower.
And my problem right now is I don't think, well, obviously it's not even justified to bring out the big one, but the little snowblower, the little electric one that I have, because it's so slushy out there, I don't even think it can throw it. So seems to me like I might end just, what I do is, particularly when it's slushy, I don't try to lift it. So I just push it off to the side and leave it at that.
Yeah, no, well, I only have one snow thrower, and it does everything. And, you know, it will move this kind of snow.
Yeah, no, I understand, but you have 3 to 4 inches. I don't even have an inch there. It's not going to do much on 1 inch of slushy snow. And I don't even think it's, yeah, I mean, I have to go out and take a look at it and brush the car off, if nothing else, but, yeah, we'll see. But it was crazy, you know, it's, and then again, what happens is you get lulled into that false sense of security that the next time they say, oh, the big one is coming, well, that never happens, you know. But the next time when they say, ah, you know, an inch of snow, that's the 20 inches that we're going to get.
Long time ago, I had a friend who was a DJ over at WBAP in Babylon. So I dropped by to visit him on his night tour at about 1 in the morning. And was sitting there, and he was doing the news, and he said, we now have 11 inches of partly cloudy on the ground.
Well, sometimes just take a look outside and see what it's doing. They used to do jackets for them, that big VAB logo with kind of a line going around, like one of the longest designs they ever had to run. Anyway, yeah, they've been around a long time, VAB.
Yeah, well, I don't know if Marty's around anymore, but this was going back to the early to mid-70s.
I used to deal with one of their salesmen. He was actually the one that was all the jackets. And it was really good until he stuck me for 2 jackets. And then, you know, that's the worst. You have a relationship with somebody, they're, you know, everything is smooth, and then say, nah, I pocketed the money and, you know, screw you, whatever.
Oh, that was nice of him.
And again, it was kind of weird because we had a good relationship. We used to do some of those parties, maybe in Patchogue. One of the, maybe, the, not the theater, but some other place. BAB used to have all kinds of parties at one place, and, you know, he was always giving me tickets. Maybe he felt that was compensation for ripping me off.
Hey, everybody has their own point of view.
And if somebody's going to do you in, it might as well be as a friend, you know. It's terrible when a stranger does something to you, but, you know, when a friend does it, it's okay.
I'll refrain from commenting.
Heading right into the city, or are you making some stops?
Nope, going into the office. I called my friends in Westbury, and they said, nope, all we got are broken phones. The new phone system isn't working yet. I said, ah. That's not me. And he says, yeah, for a change.
Well, what did you go digital?
No, they've always had a VoIP system in the new place, but I take it they had to change equipment, and you know, I don't know if they just changed and stayed with the same system or what the deal is, but they're having an issue with it. And I think it's in a way it's programmed.
And this, though, is that at your company or that's at Firecom?
No, that's at Firecom.
Oh, okay. Well, somebody comes in and sets up. It's funny. Who else was I talking to? Friends of mine that moved into a new location, put in digital phones, and just, you know, probably took a month of service till it got all straightened out. And I think most of the times it's programming. You're telling it what you want it to do.
Yeah, well, they got all sorts of stuff, rollovers, and it's connected to the 911 system, and I, you know, it's like, not me. That's why I don't encourage them to be included in the console.
Yeah, I think sometimes, too, that phones are too sophisticated. What did I do? I made up a card, Dave Akins had found it and printed him and gave him out. Equipment exceeds operators' capabilities. OC warning.
That's a nice way of saying it.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun with that. I may make them up again some event. But anyway, that's what happens. And you know, particularly if you're dealing with older people, throwing a digital phone in there and all the buttons and all the things and... It's like I said to Siri today, open up an application. And, so that's fine, but then she says, I have to unlock your password first. No, Siri, this is my phone. Why do I have to unlock my password? Anyway, that's what happens.
Yeah, I guess. Make two up for me. Even if it's on paper.
Yeah, well, it's a modern age. So many things like the thermostat will go down. You know, we have a Wi-Fi thermostat, but it'll go down, but it's linked to Alexa, so you got to come up and hit the button that brings it back up. Or that's my lights, my Philips Hue. And I have like the Philips Hue lighting system here, but... It was kind of unclear when I first set it up what to do, but you have to give each bulb a name. Otherwise, it just has a serial number, and, you know, now I'm saying, well, which serial number is this, which serial number is that, and the answer is I don't know. So trying to redesign to make it more efficient. I have to go back to square one and start all over again.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, I kind of like building a better mousetrap. Anyway... Looks like the sun even wants to come out. But that was another thing. I mean, yesterday really messed up my day. You know, I would have had dinner. My daughter, she would have come over, but we said, nah, you can't do that. Get stuck in the snow. He said 1 o'clock. Thaw until 7 o'clock. Ugly.
Yeah. Looks like everybody stayed home today.
Well, I think that's pretty standard. Once the schools are closed... I mean, I don't know how many school teachers and ancillary staff live out here on the island, but, you know, it could be, I don't know, it could be 20,000 cars not on the road.
It's got to be more than that. I know they closed a lot in the city. I'm just not sure what they did out on the island because the snow was considerably lower than it was up in White Plains or Westchester or Orange.
Yeah, I think many of them did close. I don't think I saw a school bus going by here in Plainview. And again, it's always in anticipation of a heavier snow where it becomes a dangerous situation and you have hills where the buses go up and they don't want them sliding down or kids having to go through snow drifts, you know, to get to the bus. So I don't know. I mean, you're probably right. It's more than 20,000 if you consider... If many school districts did close, not only school teachers going into the city, but all the ones that would be traveling east-west, west-east. So, but that's, Again, that's usually what happens.
Yeah, well, apparently parents took the snow day, too, I guess. Because, you know, if the kids don't go in, who's going to watch them?
Yeah, that is always a problem. You know, in one sense, let's say the mayor tries to do the right thing. I don't think they had much snow in the city, but the mayor tries to do the right thing by making sure the kids are safe in the snow and let the schools be closed. But now the parents who have to go to work have to find a way of taking care of the kids for the day. Yeah, it's one of those situations where no matter what you do, you're not going to win.
Yep. WBQZ, I see. I don't know. It's not a situation that I have, so I was getting, you know, I was getting last night, it's going to be terrible out, you get, you know, you won't go, you know, wait, you won't go in. I mean, I drove right out of the driveway.
Yeah, and again, I think it's the, whatever information the weather forecast is getting, and they did say that a lot would depend on the path that it took as it came up by New York City, so it seems like maybe it stayed a little more to the west than had been predicted. But that's the problem, and even the weather people, they're caught up in the same thing. Everybody relies on them to give them an idea of what's happening, but you know, what do they know? They can't predict what's going to happen. And so this year, I think more than any, they really look foolish. But it's really not their fault. What are they supposed to do?
No, I know that. And by the way, their prediction really wasn't off. It's people interpret it the way they want. I'm sitting there listening to it, and it looks like, okay, we're going to get some snow on the island, but we're not getting the high numbers because that's going to be north of here, judging by the way they described it. And meanwhile, everybody else is saying, oh, we're getting 5 to 8 inches. You know, it didn't sound like it.
K2KNB. No, but they broke it down. You know, if you listen to the weather, they said north and west of the city, 5 to 8 inches. City was, I think, 1 to 3. My area of Long Island, 3 to 5. As you went east, it was actually going to be less, to the point where when you got to the end, it was going to be 1 to 3. I mean, they gave you, you know, those predictions. In my case, you know, we're nowhere near that, but you know, you're only a few miles away from me, and you did get what you feel is 3 to 5 inches. But I don't think we had 1 to 3 here. But that's the problem. You know, you don't want to get stuck in a storm. You don't want to do something and find yourself coming back in heavy snow. But weather sells are weather sells, and there's not much you're going to do about it.
Yeah. Well, all I can tell you is the other day, it was terrible. It took me 2 hours to get in. Right now, I'm just passing the World's Fair ground going at the speed limit. So, you know, it's like Steve had once said, it's the law of commuting.
Well, maybe you can tap into the New York City alert system, and just any time you feel you're in going to be in traffic, just, you know, put out an alert and say, schools are closed, you know? And this way you can get to work that much faster. No, it's just crazy, and I understand. You know, there were times, because I had to be in school when I was teaching. I had to be in school by 7 o'clock because I did the calling in for the substitutes. So teachers would call in sick, and then I'd have to call substitutes for the day. So on a normal day, I left here at 5:45. By 6:30, I was usually sitting down in a little breakfast place that we used to go to. And I'd have my breakfast, and I'd be in school by 7, no problem at all. But on a snowy day, we'd leave that much earlier, just to make sure, so we might leave here at 5 o'clock. And we'd be struggling through the snow. And I can't tell you, probably 5 times we get to the city, one form or the other, to Brooklyn, and there's an announcement that the schools are closed. You know, and then we had to turn around and come back. Because you never know. You just never know.
Yeah, I know. Oh, well. See, I finally hit the traffic, and it's right at the Queens Boulevard exit. It's not terrible, but, you know, it's noticeably heavier. It's probably moving at about, on an average of about 30. Although it could be falling down.
But what does it look like in the city in terms of snow? Does it look like they had you know, a real snowfall?
Well, I'm looking at what's left on top of the Jersey barrier, and it's about an inch. So, you know, it's really not that much. And I'm sure it was more, and some of it has melted.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, anyway, other than that, I mean, it really looks like a nice day out there, right? Not quite sunny, but, yeah, I think I'll have to go out and push the snow around a little. I wish I could get my dog, you know, just put a plow behind her and let her kind of pull the snow, but she's not a willing participant.
You have plenty of energy when she wants to.
Yeah, she was very weird yesterday. Someone stopped by to drop something off, and, I mean, the dog took an instant liking to her. Didn't even bark, you know, just was able to pet her, and when she left, she didn't even bark. Didn't even go for the ankles. So I don't know whether it was, you know, perfume she was wearing, clothing, I don't know. I had to check the dog to make sure the dog was okay.
Do they own a dog?
It's funny, she just got one not too long ago. But, you know, sometimes you can tell that the dog is sniffing, you know, as you say, another dog is old enough. This is genuine affection. I was hoping that maybe she'd have genuine affection for two of my cats and I'll get rid of them.
Well, you know, you win some, you lose some.
Yeah, well, it was an all-around loser yesterday. Hey, my cats are unbelievable, but it's so... Well, one of the cats is very aggressive in terms of the other cats. Very possessive. This is my bed. Even though she's the last one that came in the house, this is my bed. So last night, the one that looks like the tiger stripes, he rarely comes up in the bed, but he wanted to come up in the bed. As soon as she jumped up, the other one goes to attack. So he has to jump down and take second too. It's crazy. And, of course, they wake me up in the middle of the night.
Nothing like a cat fight.
Yeah. And I can't even say if I like cats and dogs because they always get along with the dog. That's the unbelievable. No matter what cats we've had, no matter what dogs we've had, they have always gotten along. It's the cats with each other that, as I told you, this is the worst combination we've ever had. None of my animals likes each other. Anyway, what else? So, have you spoken to Steve? Because I guess we'll go ahead and order the bigger antenna.
Well, I talked to him this morning. It wasn't about that. But, you know, I mean, that's up to you. However you want to do it. We could talk about this on the phone, I guess.
Yeah, that's okay. But, for example, you should be perfectly clear right now, and you're not. You know, now I believe that is the difference between the two antennas. Communication has been great up to this point. All that other noise is gone. But, yeah, I'll talk to you later about it. All right, let me go get another cup of coffee. I need that jolt before I go out and shovel. So we'll catch you later. WB2ZSE, K2KNP.
Okay. Yeah, I remember Jolt Cola. WB2ZSE.
W2VL repeater system. tonight at 8:30. Welcome to the W2VL repeater.
WB2QEQ.
Testing 1-2, Whiskey 2, Bravo Zulu. Whiskey 2, Bravo Zulu, testing.
Tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL Amateur Radio Repeater System.
KD2KH Mobile.
Charlie, K2KNB.
Oh, good morning, Richie. How was your weekend?
Well, good, except for the anticipation of the heavy storm that never really came. In fact, I wasn't sure what to even do with the driveway. And it almost all turned to slush already. And I have two snowblowers. Neither one of them was going to do anything. So I kind of just pushed it off to the side. It took all of 5 minutes to clear the driveway.
Well, that's a good thing. Normally in the South Shore, we don't get much anyway, but the village truck went by at least 3 times during the night, waking everybody up, and for no reason. We could have just driven through it.
Yeah, I think they just opt to. I don't necessarily disagree with it. You know, you opt to err on the side of safety and security, because it looked like it was going to be much worse than it was. My daughter's in the Comac area. They got 3 to 5 inches up there.
Yeah, then there's always, that's right, of ice, so I guess they have to sand and salt anyway. You don't want to have those kind of conditions in the morning.
Yeah, Charlie, stand by for when I have a landline, KCKMB. That's always a possibility, Maury, that for some reason the internet connection went down, but I'll have to see how we even get that one connected, checked. I think that's through the Seabridge. Stand by one more. Let me grab this line. KCK, be back. I'm not sure how the Brand Last actually gets into us, Corey. I think it comes into the sea bridge. And if everything else is working, it could be an issue there.
Hey, Roger, Roger. Well, you know what? I'll check it when I get home. I think I checked everything, but it could also still be my connection. So I'll check it, and if it still seems like it's not me, I'll let you know. Anyway, I see the guy I'm waiting for pulling in, so I'll be right back later. WB2MSD. Thanks a lot, Rich.
All right, Maury. Take care. Have a good day. K2KNB. K2KNB, WHCDL, you still listening? Yeah, just trying to figure out something else. What's doing with you?
Nothing, just catching up on stuff. I just pulled the car out because I park, my driveway is long, and it goes from the front of the house to the back of the house, and then some, even further back. So I had my car parked next to the house, but it's in the shade. So I pulled the car out so it's in the sun. That way the sun will melt the snow. You know, the snow on the roof of the car, it'll melt it pretty quick, too. Especially if it's above freezing. So I just pulled it out.
Well, one of the things, too, is that when you know there's snow coming, particularly when they forecasted a heavier snow, you got to leave your car where it's accessible. So in other words, if you left it just over the sidewalk, pretty much at the end of the driveway, you'd only have a little bit of room to have to drive out. But when you pull it back, your house is a little bit set back from the curb, so now you got to clear out 20 feet or whatever it is behind your car to be able to get it to pull out. So you know, that's one thing. We moved the car to make it more accessible, also for me to get the snowblower around it.
Yeah, but I have the advantage. See, that's one of the reasons why I like this car. This is the last of the Mohegans. This car has a control on the front. It says two-wheel drive, 4x4 high, or 4x4 low. This is not what they call an all-wheel drive vehicle. So I have a choice. I can pop it into two-wheel, which I normally leave it in, or I can put it in four-wheel. When I go to four-wheel, 4x4 low, I can get out of anything. I've literally had snow piled up behind this car where it was up to the bumper. I pop it into 4x4 low and I plow right through it. No problem. I've tried it in two-wheel drives to get it. Can't get out. So it's mainly one of the reasons why I'm keeping this car, which I like about it, because you don't see these cars anymore like this. Maybe let's let it drop. I'll tell you something else. My last car was a Ford Bronco 2. That was also four-wheel drive. But with that one, you had to get out of the car and lock the wheels. It was the front wheels had these little levers that you got to move into a position. That locks it into four-wheel drive. This one, you know, being a much later car, does it all by itself. It's all automatic. So, and there's a light on the dashboard. It says four-wheel drive low, four-wheel drive high. But I hardly even use it. I only use it for snow. But that's what I got it for. So it's great. So because of that, I never really had to worry too much about, you know, a lot of snow when I parked further up. But you're right. Sometimes I do park further down, depending on how much snow we get. But I tell you, four-wheel drive is great. Now, I think in this day and age, I think any SUV you buy is always all-wheel drive. I don't think you can get a two-wheel drive vehicle anymore.
No, I'm not sure about that. I think all-wheel drive is still an option, but I could be wrong. I don't know that you can get four-wheel drive, but I do believe that's an option, a selling point of a car that has all-wheel drive. Still, the one thing you have to be careful of is that you know, because you feel confident that you can get it out from high snow, but a lot of times people do themselves an injustice when they start up their car where the snow is piled into their exhaust system, and so the exhaust doesn't leave the car, it actually comes into the car, and it can be fatal. So, you know, I don't know, it's a catch-22, I understand what you're saying, but better to be able to pull the car out easily and in a very short distance than over a longer distance. Anyway, this didn't materialize to anything, and the streets are pretty much clean and dry already.
Yeah, well, they said 3 to 6 inches for Long Island, so, you know, they got much more snow up north, of course. I hope this is the last of it. So far, we're almost caught up to last year as far as snowfall. I think last year we had 23 inches total. Now, with this snow, we got up to 20. So I think we're like 3 inches below, but still, that's good enough for me. If I don't see any more snow, I'll be happy. But yeah, no, you're right about the exhaust. Yeah, that could be an issue. You don't want to be in a car if your exhaust has no place to exhaust. Yeah, and actually, you're right. They do make two-wheel drive vehicles that you can buy, just two-wheel drive, as opposed to four-wheel drive. So, but I don't know if the gas mileage is any better or any worse with four-wheel drive than two-wheel. Yeah, I think most SUVs now, I would think of a four-wheel, at least here. All right, anyway. Yeah, you don't see the control on it where you have a choice of, you know, two-wheel or four, as opposed to all. So, because this car's a 2002. Think about it, 2002, it's almost, not quite 20 years old already, right? 2022 will be 20 years old. So it's 17 years old. That's pretty good.
K2KB, you sure there's nothing wrong with keeping a car that long and you have that fortunately for you, that relationship with the guys that'll do some work for you. But, I don't know. I mean, I do believe this four-wheel car is available. You can't really safely take that car on a long ride. I know you're going up to where is it, Meerschaum, whatever it's called. But, you know, it's something you have to be aware of. You don't want to get stuck on the highway. What is it, Meersford? Meersdam? What's it called?
Meerfest. Hamfest. Meerfest. As opposed to Farfest. Yeah, they call it Meerfest. No, I've been renting a car for that. I could take this one. I mean, if I wanted to. I don't think there'll be any issues with it, but I just want to drive a new vehicle for a long distance. And I could take it. So, yeah, I mean, the car is basically in good shape. You know, it's rusting a bit. I got to change some stuff. You know that, here's something interesting. Probably, you know, most people probably know about this. You know, there used to be a time when muffler shops like Meineke and Midas, you know, they used to always change the exhaust system, the tailpipe, the muffler and all that stuff. You know, but since they changed to, I think it's aluminum, but I'm not sure. It doesn't rot. It doesn't rust. Because of that, I'm on the original exhaust system in this car, and there's no problem with it. That's pretty good. Because remember, in the old days, you used to you had to bring your car every few years to get your muffler changed or your pipe changed. Everything would just rot out. No more.
I think you may also be a little bit lucky there. And I don't know, right? I don't know. I don't think you have a tremendous amount of mileage on there for a 17-year-old car, do you?
Oh, hold on a second. I wasn't keying up. I thought I was. This microphone, this button on this thing. The average car, the average mileage per year is what, 12,000? So when they warranty the car, they warranty it for 3 years or 36,000, whichever comes first. So if you figure 12,000 a year times 10 years, that's 120,000. And that's what I have on the car now, 120. So it's as if I had this car for 10 years. I got exactly $120,000 in change. So instead of, so I'm seven years short of having my my normal $12,000 a year. That's because I take the train a lot. That's the reason. So 120, I got to calculate it. $120,000 instead of it being whatever I just said. I forgot already. you know, for the period, which is you know, which is a 10-year period. That should be, you know, if you add another 7 years to it. So what's 12,000 times 10? 12, 24, 34, 60, 72, another 72,000? So I'm like 72,000 miles short. So I should be 172 plus 20, 192. So I round it off. I should have about 200,000 on this car instead of 120. So, you know, so roughly speaking, I'm 80,000 miles short. Make sense? I have no idea where you just went with that, but the bottom line is that if you have the car for 17 years, you have about 7,000 miles, something like that. 7,000 miles a year, which is way under normal. And, you know, actually the kind of driving that you do is not particularly good for the car. Because you do short runs, so you get a moisture buildup that very often can eat through mufflers and things like that. But you know, apparently you've had good luck with it, so no complaints. But you know, on the other hand, you've been talking about getting a new car for about 4 years. You certainly don't want to be putting money into a 17-year-old car. But you had some other problems with it also. K2KNB. That's the thing. I'm not putting any money into it. If I have to put money into this every week or every 2 months, that's a different story. But no, I'm okay. I'm not doing that. The car doesn't owe me anything. It's been paid off for so many years. I got a clear title. So I remember even where the title is. It's in my filing cabinet somewhere. But I bought this car new, by the way. And by the way, it may be confusing the way I just said it. I'm basing it on my reference point is $36,000 a year because that's what the manufacturer's warranty. I'm sorry, $36,000 for 3 years is their base warranty, right? For a 3 year period, so that's $12,000 a year. So I was basing my calculations on 12,000 mile per year driving. You said 7,000. I increased it by another 5, only because of what the manufacturers rated for. That's what I based it on.
Yeah, but I'm not sure what you're basing. You know, and then in lease cars, anyway, you can get very low mileage leases up to I don't know 15 or 20,000, but you pay for it. Since the car is worth that much less when you turn it back in. But look, you know, 17 years, you know, your insurance is relatively low because it's an older car, so that's a positive. You do try to maintain the car, but, you know, at some point you'll get yourself something newer and you'll be happy with it. Anyway, let me finish up the project. I've got to do some artwork here. I will catch you later, Andy. W-A-T-C-D-L, K-2-K-N-B.
All right. Very good. Something you said I just wanted to say. Now I forgot what I wanted to say. One of those things. But, yeah, no, the car is fine. You just said something and I wanted to make a comment on it. And I can't remember what. As you were talking. Wait, let me see if I can just get back that thought because I wanted to tell you something or ask you something. Got it back. Stand by. I got it. You were talking about leasing a car. Yeah, leases are cheap. I just heard somewhere, and I don't know if this is true. I want to check into that. That some of these dealers are offering leasing with the option to buy at the end of the lease. Now, that may be a plus because I thought these leases were sort of closed end. Well, is that open-end? I know there's two different types. But I heard somewhere that could be true. If it's possible to lease a car for 3 years And then after that point, you could buy it, you could just buy it outright for what the car's worth at the end of that leasing period. That may be a plus, and I don't know where I heard that. I don't know if that's being offered. What do you think?
I think you always have the option to buy the car out. There may be different terms and conditions, but no, I was just listening. Well, I think Luke Perry died. But the thing is, you always have that option. The thing is that they try to guesstimate when they lease the car. They try to guesstimate what the residual value will be. So let's say, for argument's sake, you have a $40,000 car and you're paying it out over 3 years with interest and whatever, and you pay off the $40,000, you pay off $16,000 in 3 years. So the car is now $24,000. But that's the buyback of the car, $24,000, when in fact that car market value could actually be $21,000 or $22,000, and that's always the problem, that the buyback on your lease might actually be more than the car is actually worth. And so, I don't know. I'm not sure about the advantage of doing that.
KDQIKX for the comment.
Oh, John has a comment. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. That's a good. It's a good point. I didn't think about it. I didn't, you know, calculate anything. I just sort of heard that somewhere that they're offering that. Go ahead, John.
Well, I've leased a number of vehicles in my life, and the first vehicle I leased, I guess, was a closed-end lease. It was guaranteed 12,000 miles a year. It was a 3-year lease, so the vehicle would have 36,000 miles. They gave me a price at the purchase of the lease of what the vehicle would be worth with 36,000 miles. Unfortunately, my wife didn't drive that much. The car only had 15,000. So, I bought the car with 15,000 at the price that they gave me already in the contract for 36,000, sold the car, and made a profit.
Let me survive it. Yeah, those are the kinds of things that can happen, particularly if the car is worth more money than what the buyback is. So sometimes you do have to look at your lease. And then there are people. There was actually a thing a few years back where a guy was charged with a crime. What he was doing was, from his company, he was overpaying the lease. He took an exotic car, like a I don't know if it was a Maserati or a high-end Mercedes or something like that, and let's say the payment should have been $700 a month. What he was doing was writing off, let's say, $1,200 a month to the car, so he's taking another $500 out of his business expense, and then at the end of the lease period, buys the car back, you know, which now is $18,000 less because he paid extra money, and that would actually be illegal. So there's lots of things that you can do, Andy, but if you start to lease a car, most people feel stay with the lease. Andy?
That's interesting that he did that. Yeah, okay. I haven't done any calculations to figure this out, but so John, what you're saying is what I heard was true then. You can, as an option, buy the vehicle at the end of the lease, but you have to keep leasing the vehicle for the lease period, or is it possible you could, look, during the lease period, can you cancel the lease and buy the car at that point in time, no matter what mileage it has on it, as an option, or is that not allowed?
Hey, let me sign. I will catch you later. K2KNB. John?
73 is Rich. No, I don't think you can break the lease and buy the vehicle. You have to run the lease of the vehicle. But most leases that I dealt with were at the time of the signing of the lease, they tell you what the value of the vehicle will be at the end of the lease. And I had another vehicle, but I had put on close to the exact mileage that was on the vehicle, and at that point I didn't opt to purchase it at that point. But you always have an option at the end of the lease to purchase it. But the main thing that I want to stress is never put money down on a lease vehicle. You'll see these advertisements, $197 a month for a lease vehicle for 39 months. But you got to put
$3,600 down. The problem is, you go into a dealer, you sign a lease for $119 a month, and you put $36,000 down, you drive out the dealer, and you get T-boned, you're out your deposit. You're out that $3,600. Take the deposit that you have to put down and tell them you want to roll it into the payments.
Oh, okay, yeah. 73, Mitch. Well, that makes sense. That would make, yeah, that makes logical sense. Use that money to pay down the lease rather than using that. So, well, yeah, I see that all the time. What would be the purpose of putting money down in the first place? Is that just so, I don't know the answer, so I'm just making it up. Is that so they can get you at the end as a question? Because that would make sense to take that money. If you're going to put down, you know, like you say, $119 a month for whatever the month is, but you got to put down this money. They always say that. If that's possible to roll that into the payments, that's a big plus, of course. Hold on a second. Hold on. You got it.
Well, the reason why they're making it so that it sounds affordable. Oh, lease this car for 39 months, only $119 a month, but you got to put down $4,000. That's why you're only paying $119 a month. But the problem right there, you shell out $4,000, you drive out of the dealer, you total the car, you're out that $4,000. You don't get it back. Okay? So take the $4,000, roll it into the payments, increase your monthly payments, okay? So now they're going to be not $119 a month, maybe $136 or $146 a month, but 2 months down the line, you get into an accident, you only pay two payments on the car, you walk away. You're not losing your down payment. Never put down money on something that you could lose.
I hear what you're saying, but I don't understand is if you have insurance, which you have to have anyway, and if you get into an accident, why does insurance pick that up? How does that work?
You wouldn't want to put a claim in on the insurance because that would increase your premiums.
That I understand also, but just a general question. So, yeah, no, it makes sense what you're saying. If that's an option, which you're telling me, I would do it that way easily, without any second thoughts, of course.
When you hear the advertisement, Volkswagen was very popular. Sign and drive. Sign and drive. You come in, you sign, and you drive. Okay? Because all the payments, all the down payments and the monthly payments are all rolled into your payments, okay? And you just basically sign and drive. So the only thing you got to pay is sales tax and registration and press fees.
So that's the best deal yet.
People don't have $168 every month to pay out. So they're going to turn around and take money out of their savings and put a down payment on the lease car so that their monthly payments are low. But like again, you know, heaven forbid something happens, you're not going to get back your deposit. You're going to lose it.
Okay, you know, okay. Yeah, no, I didn't think of that. Of course. I've never leased. I've always owned. I was hesitant about leasing because you hear so many. Years ago you heard a lot of horror stories. Although I don't know in this day and age if a lot of those things have changed when it comes to leasing, but you know because you've leased. Leasing is a great option because it keeps the monthly payments down, like you say. But I understand if you're signing a 3-year lease, then you're locked in for that 3-year period. You know that makes sense. The option to buy is a good thing, especially the way you did it. you made out much better because of the mileage you had on your car at the end of the lease compared to what they offered to give you, which was a lot more as far as mileage, a lot less because of a higher mileage. So you made out good. You're lucky.